This is 95.3 The Score.
And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CP on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Hey, welcome to a Tuesday. What a Tuesday it is. Start of the World Series. Start of the NBA season. We're in between stops. NFL Week 8 is a wrap. We've got... A lot to look forward to with another college football weekend approaching. The scene shifts to Autzen Stadium with the North leading Ducks hosting a program that's been quite the nemesis in the last 4 years. Them thar Washington Cougars. Scherzer and Cole. I don't think you heard me. I said, that's a dandy. Last time a Washington franchise was in the World Series, 1933, when the then-editor Senators, took on the New York Giants with a, man, what a great lineup for both teams. First, you had King Carl Hubble, one of the premier lefties of that or any generation. So of the Hall, you had Hall of Famers and Carl Hubble, who was the starter and the winner. Mel Ott, who I believe was the second player ever to reach the 500 home run plateau. Bill Terry, the first baseman, another Hall of Famer for the Giants, who won in 5. Goose Goslin in right field, Hall of Famer. In left field, Heinie Manouche, also a Hall of Famer. And a guy at shortstop who, a rarity for those days, a shortstop who hit cleanup, Joe Cronin, who would become the infield up the power up the middle for some of the great Red Sox teams, including the late Bobby Doerr, who's obviously very well known around here. And the Senators had a reserve on that team. His name was Mo Berg. He would go on to be a guy who was very influential as a spy for the United States during World War II. He would travel to the Eastern Soviet bloc nations. I actually remember doing a paper on him back in like middle school in what was then Yugoslavia. He was in Italy. He talked with those and got information on the Nazi nuclear plan. And just like I said, I was looking back at the teams that played then, just loving the history so much. And it was like, Mo Berg. Yeah, I remember doing a paper on that guy at the behest of my dad. So you got that going tonight. So the TNT doubleheader is the Pelicans. So about 48 hours ago, I bet folks were psyched about that. Going to get an eye on Zion. And instead... done. Toronto, the defending champs. Done. And then the battle for the locker room with the Lakers and Clippers, and some NHL tonight and all that good stuff. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We'll have our guest this week for my Across the Pond segment, which I've been doing for many years on our pregame, courtesy of our friends at Mid Valley Tractor on Highway 99 in Eugene. The radio analyst for Washington State, fellow by the name of Alex Brink, who was the quarterback starter for 3 great years at Sheldon, took them to the championship game, 99? I'm off a year, 1 or 2, and then won the state championship. And with my old partner in crime, Adam Ulrey, we actually broadcast a lot of the Sheldon games. We were there his sophomore year. They had a lefty quarterback, the Irish, by the name, I think it was Matt King, also may have hooped, got hurt. Brink, as a young guy like that, who had never seen the field, kind of went through the rest of the first half, looked completely lost. And it's like he went in the locker room and went, all right, I got this. Took him to deep into the playoffs his first year as a starter. Championship game as a second. Won it as a third. Became a really good quarterback at Washington State. I think he had a cup of coffee. I don't know if he ever got on the field. I'm having a little brain lock with the Titans, I believe. I'd have to double check. But he will join us. Yeah, he got drafted by Texans. I've frequently gotten those confused. So he actually was drafted after finishing the 2007 season with the Cougs, where he at that time they were pumping out quarterbacks from Bledsoe and then Alex, and so haven't had him on the show. Probably haven't talked to him since he was in college. So we're going back 2004, 5, 6, 7. I would say he probably took over for Jason Gesser. Would that make sense? Just numerically, chronologically. Yeah, he started for the Cougs in 05, 6, and 7. And he was productive. I mean, his last year threw for almost 4,000 yards. I remember that was the year of Dennis Dixon. And, you know, obviously they were playing everybody. And that was, okay, so they came here when Oregon was number 9 on October 13th, 2007, and actually got taken apart. In 2006, Oregon played them there, and they beat the Ducks 34-23. So obviously, being a Sheldon guy, I would imagine that'll stand out as a special moment. And just looking at the numbers, taking on Brady Leaf and Dennis Dixon, and he was 20 of 23 for 179 and two touchdowns in a victory for the Cougs with a fellow by the name of Dwight Tardy. Very punctual. Rushed for 145 yards that day. So there you go. Not that I would get lost down a rabbit hole, but Thursday at 3:30, that's my way of saying Alex Brink will join us.
Wow. All right.
I made it. I made it, man. Couple of things regarding this World Series. You know, even after the Altuve home run, probably not many of you know somebody who's been a Yankees fan longer than me. I didn't naturally think, well, I'm going to root against the Astros because I really like both teams. I think it's a great baseball series. I sure like the Nats. But then you hear this jerk store of one of the assistant general managers, or the assistant, Brandon Taubman. So originally Sports Illustrated reported that in the aftermath of the Altuve walk-off to give the Astros their second American League pennant in 3 years, he was walking out after the 6-4 win, turned to a group of female reporters, including one that was wearing a purple domestic violence awareness bracelet, and yelled, "Thank God we got Asuna. I'm so effing glad we got Asuna." Of course, this is the punk ass who served a 75-game suspension for violating Major League Baseball's domestic violence policy. He was charged, and the problem was that the reason it was withdrawn, the woman said she was not going to travel from Mexico to Toronto to testify. He agreed, which something called a peace bond. It meant he can't contact the woman, and he needed to continue counseling. The Astros acquired him in the midst of a lot of hullabaloo. And then the Astros would then issue a statement saying the story is misleading and irresponsible. And it went on and said they pulled the typical, they tried to pin it on the reporter, fake news, disappointed in Sports Illustrated attempt to fabricate a story. Yeah, then all of a sudden, he came out and apologized for exactly what he said and played the disgusting, which we're all on the same page of if somebody begins, if I didn't mean to offend anybody, what's the obvious thing that they did? Offended everybody. And so now the new statement came from a guy by the name of Jim Crane. The Astros continue to be committed to using our voice and to create awareness and support on the issue of domestic violence. And they went on and on about what they've done, the money they've raised. We support MLB and baseball stance and values regarding domestic violence. Still no apology to the reporter who they went after. They questioned the credibility of the reporter. When it was spot on, it was verified. And by the way, good on some of the folks at the Houston Chronicle, because remember earlier this year, Verlander threw a little petulant hissy fit when he wouldn't continue talking with reporters in the clubhouse until a reporter he didn't like left the room. And it's like, that's not how it works. And so now you have Taubman after deny, attack. This past Saturday, I used inappropriate language. I realized my comments were unprofessional and inappropriate. And he says, my overexuberance in support of a player. It's like, screw you, scumbag. And I love that when they play the, this isn't me. Are you the guy we're looking at? Yes. Are you the guy that said exactly what you stand accused of? Yes. Two, four. Better yet, 2 + 2 = you. I like how you say, those that know me know I'm a progressive and charitable member. So why are you yelling in favor of a guy who, for all we know, beat the crap out of a woman at women reporters, one wearing something in support of domestic violence victims? No, your apology is an F. And I got verification from Justin, our apology commissioner, earlier today. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Let's take a phone call. Let's bring in Fred. Fred, good afternoon. How's it going?
Doing good. Hey, what do you think about NBA said that they're going to eject fans for, like, saying bad things? I mean, can't they, like, give a technical to the crowd like they did to the Ducks back at the old, at the pit?
You completely lost me. What do you mean?
Well, I just heard on the news, my buddy, that NBA, if you start harassing the players.
Wait. You're again using one of your buddies as sources who never get anything right?
Someone that's trying to talk me into 18 holes right now. You think it's too late for that?
So what in reality now, take a breath, what did you hear?
That if you harass the NBA players, you can get ejected.
Well, that's always been like that. There's always been a line. I mean, there's verbal. I mean, you obviously can't make contact. So I as far as I know, there's no rule, no new rule being implemented.
I thought they'd just give the fan a technical and let the crowd take care of it.
Oh, yeah, good luck with that. And by the way, let's go for the torches and pitchforks, Fred.
What do we think about 18? Should I do it or not?
Yeah, why not?
We're going, guys. All right, got to go. Bye.
Bye. Fred's buddies are bad, bad sources. There's just there's not a whole bunch of credibility there. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So now there's an update to this story. So we know that Brandon Taubman was targeting a female reporter that was wearing a purple bracelet on domestic violence. So she tweeted frequently about the issue. He complained about her tweets, especially when they offered the domestic violence hotlines when Asuna appeared in relief. So the guy's name is David Fulkenflick. That's real. I'm not making that up.
I don't believe you.
So the facts are now coming to light. There is no more hiding behind job titles or in everybody's elation in Houston over the Astros advancing to the World Series. And so his story is based on interviews with three witnesses from Saturday and another four interviews. And so Taubman's apology, you know, stating he was progressive and misunderstood is ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, right now, people are wondering, why does this guy still have a job? And you know how social media works. Guessing that's about to change. It's even worse than it looked, and I didn't think that was possible. And of course, this is a deal where, and by the way, the hashtag Fire Taubman, and it's CCing at Astros is now trending. So yeah, let's definitely retweet this. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So the NBA did release a new policy about fan behavior.
This is true. The league is, this is according to an ESPN article by, well, from the Associated Press. The league is changing and toughening its code of conduct for fans, especially putting those in closest proximity to players in the court on alert that anything over the line will lead to ejections and possibly more. We've added any sexist language or LGBTQ language, any denigrating language in that way, anything that is non-basketball related, said Jerome Pickett, the NBA's executive vice president and chief security officer. So your mother comments, talking about your family, talking about test scores, anything non-basketball related, we've added that in as well as being something that we will go and pull a fan from the seat and investigate what happened.
All right. Good information. So obviously Fred got it from the news and not one of his friends.
Well, I think one of his buddies read the article and then passed it on, but he probably only skimmed the article and got like or read a headline or something and then probably had a take and then passed it on to Fred, and Fred had to confirm it with you. But now Fred's playing golf, so he can't even defend himself. Also, we have a one call per day rule, so he can't even call back in and confirm any of this. But I'm thinking that's what happened.
Wow. Well, we've got Nick providing confirmation, which is really all we need.
Wow.
So none of the action tonight starts until 5. Suddenly, Pelicans-Toronto, not that intriguing. Clippers-Lakers, that could actually end up being intriguing all night, all season long. And it is the only two games being played tonight. Tomorrow, it's almost like a regular NBA schedule. It starts at 4 o'clock our time. Bulls Hornets. Ooh, don't want to miss that one.
I'm like not the biggest NBA guy, so I probably wasn't gonna watch, you know, the opening night of the season for the opening game or whatever. But like, there's something about tonight's opener, especially it being in Toronto. Like, you know, you get to raise a banner,
right.
You're handing out rings. All of that
Without
is always
Kawhi.
Yeah. All of that is very exciting to me every year when it happens, because it's, you know, hey, it's a cool thing. You get to celebrate a team, especially a team in a country winning their first basketball championship. That's a big deal. But then, like, the reason they won it, Kawhi, he's not there, and it doesn't really mean anything. And the NBA being as strong schedulers as they are, being like, we'll have Kawhi play LeBron on primetime on opening night anyways. But
yeah,
I don't care. Like, I don't know if it's the World Series and the timing of it is all put together and maybe it's just kind of weird. I don't like basketball, but like, I really don't care that the Raptors are raising a banner tonight.
No, I really don't either. It's not good timing for them. If they were bringing back a team capable of repeating, I think there would be a different element of intrigue, but they don't. By the way, the Blazers open tomorrow, the ESPN game against Denver. So that's a biggie. Oh, that's a biggie. I wanted to get to a few things about not only this World Series, but just obviously if your team is in it, if you're a college football or basketball fan, you know, let's look at it through the yellow and green lens. If you're a basketball fan, you saw the men in the Final Four in 2017, the women in the Final Four last year, so you're in the championship hunt. You obviously have a natural interest. That's your program. 2010, 2014, you know, January 11, January 15, saw the Oregon Duck football team in the Natty. So I was thinking, what stands out to all of you? It could be a championship game for college football, college basketball, NBA, MLB. I guess with MLB, NBA, and NHL, it would be what championship series did you look forward to the most that did not have a direct connection to you, so it wasn't your team? And I got a lot of, Texas USC in college football after the 05 season. Although it was interesting, a lot of you mentioned the first Giants Patriots Super Bowl, which I guess was really interesting. I mean, you had the first time anybody ever went 16-0, looked like they were just gashing their way through the postseason en route to a title until it wasn't. By the way, so Snoop Dogg does everything now. He just shows up everywhere.
You're Snoop Dogg.
Hey, I'm not saying for him, but I don't remember him ever speaking on the topic of basketball until he did the show that got everybody bent out of shape in Lawrence, Kansas. So here he is. Good for him. Why?
He strikes me as a guy who would actually be like the Clippers fan of the LA teams. I don't know why, but I know he's a SoCal guy. He probably just, you know, hey, I'll wear everybody's gear all the time. But I feel like he would actually be a Clippers fan. Like, I think that's actually his team. I don't know why
really?
I would think that, but
I think
he would be like that. Yeah.
He's a little older. I would imagine he was kind of reared on the Lakers and Showtime. But if he's, what, probably 50, 51 years old right now? So,
That's very wrong. He's very much a Lakers fan.
I'm just curious what year he was born, because there's no way somebody born back then, unless their family worked or played for the Clippers, was not reared on Showtime in SoCal back in the day.
Yeah, no, that was very wrong of me to assume that. He had lyrics in his songs reminding Clippers fans that LA will always be a Lakers team. So I was very wrong.
I was taking exception with that based on gut. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. Snoop Dogg's a huge Laker fan, Laker honk. I've heard him interviewed and talk about it all the time. He's a big Showtime Lakers guy.
Okay, yeah, I'm not really surprised considering where he's from and his age.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm, for one, am super excited about this season starting. I mean, because for the first time, it's, you know, the Blazers have a chance. I mean, it's the West is kind of wide open, and they're one of the, you know, I think, six or seven teams that have a shot at coming out of the West. And I think that for Blazers fans is something that, you know, hope is something we haven't had for a lot of years.
No, I agree. With the shape, and especially learning that Thompson's probably done for the year with Golden State, with the, you know, some of the other shakeups. I'm sorry, I'm just not sold that it's just that water and the stinking Clippers are the team to beat. So, yeah, if I were a Blazer fan, I'm looking forward to the season anyway. I don't even need a qualifier.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I think it all kind of stems on whether, you know, Whiteside is the locker room guy and he isn't a cancer, and also if TJ and Dame stay healthy. I mean, I think if all those three things are happen, they have a legitimate shot. But, you know, just in case, I stocked up on Alka-Seltzer for the inevitable. Give me, so.
Well done, Josh. Nice job, man.
Take care.
Take it easy. boy, the fact that we're talking about this now, KJZ 95.3 The Score, Kendall Auto Group. It's another year, another annual trunk or treat. We here at The Score and Kendall Auto Group have a super safe way for you and the kids to enjoy the experience. Trunk or treat, Halloween day from 4 to 6. It's the parking lot back here behind Valley River Center. Kendall Auto Group will be on hand with a whole bunch of cool new cars. Trunks will be full of candy. By the way, parents, you're not shut out here. It's candy for kids and parents. So get your Halloween costumes together. Join us this Halloween, which is in a mere 9 days, a week from Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. behind the parking lot behind Valley River Center. Once again, 95.3 The Score's Trunk or Treat. Have a safe and happy Halloween from Kendall Auto Group and your friends here at KUJZ. We'll take back. Be take break. Back. We'll take it back. We'll take a break, and we'll be back. That makes way more sense. I'll have an update and more crunch time. 95.3 The Score.
Crunch time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Strasburg's been pitching lights out. However, in the end, they went with Scherzer. A couple of reasons. Scherzer has pitched in the World Series before, back in 2012 when he was a member of the Detroit Tigers. In addition to that, he allows them to start game 1 and 5 and then come out of the bullpen potentially in a game 7, the way he did against the Dodgers in the LDS.
You know, I really like Pedro Gomez, but his pitch there of why they're starting Scherzer over Strasburg in game 1 for the Nationals is like, because he's better? No, seriously. Strasburg's a very good pitcher. He's been a good pitcher. Scherzer's going to the Hall of Fame. He might be the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, I know Verlander and Cole this year have had a lot to say about it, but Cole is having the year now that Scherzer's done like 5 times. So it's like, well, they're going to, because of, it's like, he's the best pitcher on the staff. That's why he's starting. Thanks, PG. Welcome back. Crunch time, 95.3 The Score. Well, I noticed when we went down to the Rose Bowl, so we're talking about Oregon, Wisconsin. So it's January 2011. And in order to get the free then Wi-Fi service, I had to sign up for the Hotel Omni we were staying at. So for years, I joked about, I signed up once, and they would send me emails, special deals. So finally, I did the unsubscribe thing, and I haven't heard from them in a couple years. Nickel attests to the fact, one day we were on air, I got a little excited about the Knicks, and I bought my Porzingis jersey.
Well, you were very excited, and then at the same time, Alex and I peer pressured the crap out of you for at least a couple weeks. Like, it was a,
there was a lot of heat.
There was a lot of work putting into being like, dude, it's a t-shirt. Are you really not going to buy a t-shirt? Like, we weren't asking you to buy his game ward jersey that you could wear as a nightgown. And,
signed.
Right. Yeah. Signed or whatever, and you would just, you know, swim in a basketball jersey. No, it's a t-shirt, man. It was like $20.
Now, it's a workout shirt, by the way.
Hey, you know what? It's a good, at least you got a workout shirt, right?
But I now especially noticed with the season started, Facebook and email contribute to your Nick fandom, add to your Nick fandom. So I got the email. It did say don't reply. So I replied and I said something along the lines of, I tell you what, stop sending me these frigging emails. And when you win a playoff series, I'll buy the most expensive item on your website.
Is that something I need to write down?
Actually.
Or will the world have ended by
that? Well, I was going to say, when do you foresee the Knicks winning a playoff series? So you're safe for this year. You're probably safe for next year. Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I haven't heard back, by the way.
I think that's why they click just an unsubscribe button. You just stop getting the emails.
Jeez, it's like, you're the Knicks. Just leave us alone.
I actually imagine it's a whole lot of people from New York, from Jersey, who are just bitter and angry that there's the reason that, like, the email that you get is do not reply at website.com or whatever, because probably some poor person in the early days of the internet had to go through and see that their inbox was filled with thousands of emails from angry people yelling, why would I ever want to buy this t-shirt? Your team is crap.
Stink.
Your team is garbage.
They are garbage. So I was thinking about this matchup with the Nats and the Strohs, and a couple of you have made a good contribution or two already. What championship series or championship game were you like, it's not my favorite team? And I'll even go one further, which I'm flexible on. I mean, would you make it your business to watch the Dodgers the last 2 years just to root against them?
I did make it my business,
but
you were
watching the World Series anyway.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is I'm going to watch all of these championship games for the most part to just like, we'll see what's going on. Why not? And then, you know, the Dodgers are in it, and I was like, you know, I wanted to see the Astros win because that one guy on Sports Illustrated 5 years before was like, they're going to win the World Series in 2017. This is going to happen, guys. Get ready. And I was like, all right, that's very cool. Plus the Dodgers lost. I didn't want to see them win. And then they lost the next year, too, and I was like, I'm very okay with this as well. This is a very fun thing.
Yes, and somebody didn't text me what they thought, but they, in essence, asked me, because they're apparently an early 30-something, were you and your buddies, like, in 84, 85, and 87, me and my friends got together for every finals game to watch Lakers Celtics. It was like, you couldn't be a sports fan and not be like, this is the best thing going. Because everybody thinks they played so often because Magic won it in his first time as a rookie in 80. Then Bird won it in 81. Then Magic won it again in 82, but they never played each other. And then in 83, Philly bounced Boston. In 84, it started. Worthy missed a big foul shot late in the series. The Celtics won in 85, finally, for the first time in, at the time, 20-some-odd years, the Lakers beat the Celtics in a championship round. It was a beautiful thing. And then in 86, the Celtics won it, but the Lakers got run by the Twin Tower Rockets, who had Ralph Sampson and Hakeem the Dream, and beat that team. And then in 87, they played for the last time. Probably the most famous play of that series was the Magic Johnson Jr. sky hook. You know, if I'm going to completely date myself, that 1979 Super Bowl for a 78 season, Cowboys versus the Steelers, I think at the time that might have been the most watched anything. I mean, 5 years later, you get the MASH episode, the finale, which I still believe sets the standard. But you have to understand, you had the Steel Curtain, which had just ignited sports fans in this country with, you know, like Hall of Famers at every position. And then you had the Cowboys. This was the era of the, it was new that they had the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. They were America's team. You had the All-American from the Naval Academy, Roger Staubach, the hat with Tom Landry. They had this great, they had won the year before when the Steelers got upset by the Broncos and Tony Dorsett. They were the defending champs, and it was a game that was like, it's all you heard about. Were you watching the game? You watch the Super Bowl, so you like the Steelers, you like Cowboys. Well, no, I hate the Cowboys, I'm rooting for the Steelers. As far as college football, a lot of you have, and again, this doesn't count your team. Obviously, if you're a fan of Oregon football, you were out of your minds for the Auburn and the Ohio State game. It was like, oh my God, they're in a championship game. This could actually happen. It didn't. Texas, USC, you know, the Vince Young game, that pops.
That's the one. I think that's the game where that's...
Yeah, I don't know anybody who wasn't looking forward to that.
I mean, I was like I was 11, about to be 12 or whatever. Like, I was young. I was like just getting... I really liked Texas for some reason. My mom had a coworker who went to USC and they were LA and I didn't like them. And I was just like, I want to watch this game. And I was rooting and going like crazy. And I was telling my mom to text trash talk back to her friend Ron because I was just like...
Who are you rooting for?
Texas.
Just against USC?
Yeah, well, more, I mean, also for Texas. I did really like the Longhorns and the colors, and I thought about going there, and I was, you know, just a young kid with big dreams of playing baseball at Texas University for some reason.
Wow, Roger Clemens footsteps.
It wasn't going to happen. But yeah, that was that's probably one of the few, just looking back at some of the finals and championship games and stuff like that, that's one of the few where I was like, yeah, I was really into that.
A lot of people, and I understand it because I was too, when the Cubbies made it in 2016, it was like, wow, the Cubs are in the World Series. If you're a baseball fan, I think even if you're a sports fan, it's like, it's been since 1945. But by then, everybody knew it's like, it's been 108 years. Plus, it ended up being a great series. So, and by the way, that's another one. A couple of you have chimed in with great games. No, I'm talking about you got to go beforehand. Because, to be perfectly honest, even though it ended up being an historic finish with the Statue of Liberty from Jared Zabransky to Ian Johnson when Boise State beat Oklahoma, I don't remember people being that ecstatic. I mean, sure, it was a Fiesta Bowl. It was that time of year. Boise State was kind of an intriguing program, potential giant killer. But I'll tell you the truth, even though I was rooting against them, there's no way I wasn't locked in on Cardinals-Red Sox in 04 because it was like, again, the same thing. It was like, Red Sox are really going to break the curse? Because that would have been the most Red Sox thing ever. To come back from 3-0 down to beat the Yankees, then lose to the Cardinals. You know, I don't know if I've thought about that often. That would have been like... Wow, you guys really are the worst.
Oh, yeah. That would have been like, I don't know how
many... they've ever recovered from that?
I don't think you... No. Like, you
can't... How do you?
When you... I mean, like, the reverse sweep is, like, bad enough, and the Yankees, like, eventually bounced back, but it took them a while. They didn't get to, you know, win another World Series for another 5 years after
that.
At
the time, that was obscene.
Right. And, you know, now they've gone 10 years without winning a World Series, which is crazy, too. But, like, you're the Red Sox, and you've gone that long without winning, and the Cubs have already gone that long without winning, and you're just like, no, it's never going to end. You would actually, probably people would be
just
like,
stop, I'm not doing it anymore.
Right. If karma is going to give us a reverse sweep on the Yankees and then we're going to lose the World Series to the damn Cardinals who haven't done anything since forever, you know, or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah, been in since 87.
Yeah, so even they'd been waiting, you know, almost a generation to, like, win something. It's like, we're going to let the Cardinals beat us. Like, first it was the Mets, and now we're going to have a franchise in the middle of the country is going to have this over us, too. It's bad enough that New York can hold two things over us all the time. Oh, people...
No, that would have been...
give up on
that
the
would
Red
have
Sox.
Been devastating. Oh, yeah. That would have been devastating. That would have been Buckner all over again. I know it's only Tuesday, but looking ahead to Friday, we'll be at the IHOP at Gateway for Friday Duck Talk, brought to you by our friends at Bi-Mart. We'll obviously talk a lot about last week's game and look ahead to Washington State. Come down and get free pancakes courtesy of the friends at IHOP. If you can't make it, catch us on 96.1 KZL from 8 to 9 p.m. My special guest, 8 to 9 a.m.? Did I just say p.m.? No, it's AM. It's a morning show. Brent Haberle, Oregon linebacker, around, I think he left in 06, will join us. So remember, Friday Duck Talk brought to you by Bi-Mart, hosted by me, 8 to 9 AM on 96.1 KSL. I'll take a break. We'll be back. Because it's a Tuesday, this is the final segment of Crunch Time. We'll wrap with...
What are you doing?
That's next, 95.3 The Score.
.95.3 The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take .95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
Play clock running down. They let him get it off. Pressure off the edge. Floater! And another interception! And it's Gilmore.
But here we go again. Are they going to identify who's coming?
Third and 10. Can he get a first down inside the two? Floated again and picked off again! This time it's Terrence Brooks!
Now look, even as a recovering Jets fan, I would never root for the Cowboys or the Patriots over them, though I do want them to be miserable. So mission accomplished last night. But what the hell was with Darnold last night? I mean, he was like Chuck and Duck, like he never saw a pass rush before. That was brutal. Before we get to our, what are you doing? Last week, we were playing up and talking about the great competition, not only between Oregon and Washington, but between the Daily Emerald and the UW student newspaper. They were having a fundraising competition. And obviously, that's a bigger school. It's a bigger city. But I've just learned that the Emerald won. They outraised them $6,965 nice. To $6,855. So just all the way around, that's a can't-lose situation for supporting student journalism, and we appreciated having Gabe on, their sports editor. He was awesome, and like I said, all year long, support student journalism. So important for the future of our democracy. An ally of the people, as we welcome you back to Crunch Time, 95.3 The Score. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Heads will shake. Emojis will be verbalized. And like I always say, Nick and I just wonder aloud. It's called What Are You Doing? And in honor of Game 1 of the World Series, Nick will be George Springer and lead off.
Absolutely. And to Tom Brady, I ask.
What are you doing?
So Tom has a cameo in this new Netflix show with Paul Rudd called Living With Yourself, which is about Paul Rudd's character finding a way to be happier in his life. He turns his life around, whatever. I saw the trailer. I don't think I'm going to watch it. There's two Paul Rudds in the whole thing. It's very confusing. Tom's cameo is him walking out of a massage parlor, and Paul Rudd's character asked him, hey, is this your first time? And Tom says, no. My sixth, the sixth being a reference to his six Super Bowls in the massage parlor that he walks out of, obviously is a poke at Robert Kraft, who is involved in a scandal that involved him going to these types of massage parlors and receiving some off-the-menu services. Tom is claiming that we, the media, and the people who watch that show are taking the clip out of context, and they need to understand more of what's going on about the show, and he told one member of the Boston media that they were simply asking Tom to make up a story for clicks. Tom, how is it our fault that you did acting? How are you mad that there was a lack of context and you're not going to provide any context, leaving it to the producers and writers on the show coming out to say that the joke was written 4 years ago and it was filmed a year ago and Tom agreed to fill the scene with the lines? And just to say that it was a joke that you've talked with Kraft, I mean, just say it was a joke or give some blah, blah answer. We're under Cincinnati. Don't bother me with off-field questions. Blah, blah, blah. Don't blame the media for investigating into a pretty worthwhile story and asking some interesting questions. I mean, you're Tom Brady. You're going to go around and make that kind of joke about your owner and then be mad when people ask you about it? And the BS lie that you didn't know what was going on because you're in front of a green screen. Please. You don't get to say that you didn't have context while filming the scene and then say that someone is watching the entirety of the damn show. They don't have context. What crap, as I ask.
What are you doing?
So my first is going to be a trio. The Mexican Soccer First Division plus teams Veracruz and Tigre. I ask you all.
What are you doing?
All right, I get the protest. There was a rumor the game would not be played because of the players not getting paid. The fans were there. Teams went through their warm-ups. The whistle blew. The ball was dropped on the pitch and nothing. Well, sort of. The Veracruz club players stood motionless, and so did the Tigres players, until they didn't. They moved the ball around. It appeared there was no definitive plan to counter the players who refused to play in financial protests. And after 2 minutes, a curler found the back of the net. Then another. Then eventually at 3-0, the game went on as normal. Why play at all? Apparently, the clubs mutually agreed to do nothing the first 3 minutes, but the Tigres broke the agreement on orders of their coach. So to the league and both teams, I ask.
What are you doing?
Wow, that's super ballsy. Oh, my goodness. To Cardinal Ritter College Prep High School, I ask.
What are you doing?
This is a high school in St. Louis, and actually, considering, you know, what we're doing in this segment, they handled things really well. Their high school football team was 7-0 on the way to the playoffs, and they just fired their coach and suspended the rest of the season. Why, you ask? Because the head coach allowed a suspended player to suit up in a game and play under a false name. Bill Jackson, a junior running back, was given a one-game suspension after he was ejected from the state title game the year before. In the first game of this year, Bill Jackson changed his number from 4 to 24 and, like magic, became Marvin Burks, playing in the game he shouldn't have played in, and some way, somehow, the head coach didn't know that Jackson did this. The head coach of a football team, the guy who calls plays, game plans, works with the kids day in and day out during the season, didn't recognize one of his players because he changed their number. Even better was the coach talked to the media after and said that the freshman, the fake Marvin Brooks, earned the right to play, and Jackson, who probably should be given an Oscar, told the media that sitting out last week really provided me a spark. I mean, this is some serious dedication that came down to someone recognizing that the tattoos on Jackson and Burks were the same. Really, you're going to go this all out for a lie and then forget to wear long sleeves, as I ask.
What are you doing?
Wow. To Astros assistant GM Brandon Taubman, I ask.
What are you doing?
So according to Sports Illustrated, and the confession after the walk-off homer by Altuve gave the Stros the AL pennant, he yelled in the direction of three female reporters, "Thank God we got Osuna. I'm so effing glad we got Osuna." Osuna would be Robert. And the reason this is substantial is he was suspended 75 games last year for violating MLB's domestic violence policy. And the team would not apologize or even attempt to spin the story. They're playing the fake news angle. Although Hunter Atkins of the Houston Chronicle said he was there, should have spoken up sooner. And now Stephanie Hapstein and Hannah Kaiser would come forward, and now the team would admit, led by Taubman with his fake apology, and now we're waiting on the team to do the right thing and fire his dumbass. This is just unbelievable and not acceptable, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To Konyasper keeper Serkan Kirintilli, I ask.
What are you doing?
I didn't say any of those words right. I have no idea who this person is or who he plays for, but I know this much. He is a dummy head. If you don't watch soccer or pay attention to it, you still kind of know the rules, right? No one can use their hands except for the goalie, and the goalie can only use his hands inside the goalie box. Really simple. Kirintilli was given a red card 20 seconds into his last game for catching a ball outside of the goalie box. How? Your entire job relies on you knowing that one simple rule of your position, and you broke it 20 seconds into the game? And it wasn't even like he was tiptoeing over the line and the ref made a dangerous call and he had to yell about it. He was 3 yards out of his box as he caught this ball, and he just walked off the field. He knew what he did, the play stopped, he dropped his gloves, didn't do anything. He walked away after 20 seconds. Props to you to earning a full day's pay in 20 seconds of work, but you're really going to forget the rules of the game? Not a good look, as I ask.
What are you doing?
Lastly, New York Jets and anybody who thought anything different, I ask.
What are you doing?
Look, I get Sam Darnold is young, he's flashed some positives, and that he just returned from injury and they even beat the Cowboys. But the so-called experts, remember when they picked the Mariners 2 years ago? Or the geniuses who really think the Clippers are the NBA favorites this year? Just stop. Look at the uniform. They're going to be champions. The Jets brought in Le'Veon Bell. They hired Adam Gase. And Mr. Kokeyes, who's had one nice moment as the offensive coordinator of the 14 Broncos who made the Super Bowl and got killed by the Seahawks. He really just seems in over his head as a head coach. Oh, and wait. They're the Jets. The last high-quality quarterback they drafted and groomed, his name was Namath. Well, maybe a little O'Brien, a little Pennington. But last night, the most Jests performance ever. J-E-S-T, Jests, 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 as we ask.
What are you doing?
All right. Wrap time, 4 o'clock, hours next. Sports Talk 95.3, The Score.